welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show. It's good to be back.
Is it good to be back?
Yeah,
you're back,
indeed.
You're back on terra firma, on solid ground.
That's true.
You've been away.
Almost didn't make it back though.
Really?
It's true. Yeah. At the airport.
I tried to stop you. I said, go back to Thailand.
This is going to be scissors in the bag again, isn't it? Oh, no.
No, it was no scissors in the bag. Actually, it started in Singapore airport. They wouldn't give me my pass for Cape Town.
Really?
Yeah. They said, your passport is currently being rejected by our system.
Oh, my word.
There might be some sort of flagged issue going on here. And I thought, that's not good. But then they eventually phoned South Africa and got some override code.
Oh, cool.
Which I have scrambled down on a piece of paper. So if anyone needs it. Yeah, if anyone wants to know how to bypass your passport.
I can just imagine Simon going up to the customs agent next time he travels and just going,
I know the code is
Z4389 and then giving them a wink.
Actually, Andrew, that's not the code. The code's all numbers.
That's okay. Quite scary to think that a passport that is actually being rejected can be overruled if you know the right things.
Well, I know the number. So if you want it, just let me know. Email me privately. I'm selling it for, I don't know.
What's it worth? What do you feel like a code like that is worth?
I don't know. I'll go on the dark web and find out the going rate.
Yeah. But we are back as a podcast too.
Yay.
Yeah. It's been how many weeks? 2 weeks?
Too many weeks.
That's
I'm
very
Bill
good.
Streep. On the dance floor. I'm Andrew.
I'm Simon Streep. I wasn't actually finished my story just now.
Okay.
Right now I'm still stuck in Singapore.
Yeah.
It's almost as if you guys didn't want me back.
Well, you're here. It's like one of those no stakes stories. You are sitting right here. It's not like I'm, will he make it or not?
How do you know that I didn't make it and that someone else took my identity and did make it?
Okay.
And now they've just picked up where I left off with my
you're
life.
You're being so Simon-y right now.
They've done their research. They've listened to all the hours of podcasts that we put out there. Anyway, it turns out what happened is when I got to Cape Town Airport, they told me that my passport had been blacklisted. Had I done anything wrong? In that moment, I thought, no, zero acts of terrorism while I was away.
Yeah.
I didn't, traffic any drugs while I was away. I'm pretty sure I'm good. So I said, no, nothing that I know of. I think I'm good to go in.
Yikes.
Let me in, please. And so they then did an extra check on their system. And they discovered, very interestingly enough, that what had happened is when they actually do the scans, they only check the surname and they check the date of birth. And there's some guy in Namibia that has the same surname and date of birth of me that has been blacklisted from Cape Town.
Old Streep.
Wow. Is this your evil twin brother? Your evil Namibian twin brother?
I don't know, but he's not coming here, so I'll never be able to meet him.
That must have been quite a scary moment.
Well, actually, everyone was really friendly, so it wasn't that scary at all.
And it was on the way back, too.
Yeah.
So that's fine.
It's like, what's the worst that can happen? You can send me to an island paradise.
Yeah. No, you have to stay in Thailand. I'm lucky.
But it did make me think that I might now need to change my surname to stop it from happening. Because he basically said it would happen every single time I traveled in.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yeah, Kerr. Simon Kerr.
No, I was going to say the pieman.
Simon the pieman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you not think they'll look more suspicious going into countries?
Not if it's just one word. Because then you can pronounce it how you want to.
Yeah, like Septiman.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's like a Greek surname.
I'll consider it.
All right.
Well, I've solved a mystery that's been festering.
Did you find out who pooed in your loo? That one.
Not that one, but it is loo related. A few weeks back, we were discussing toilet seat etiquette, up or down, and I'd accused you guys, I'd gone gung-ho and accused you guys of leaving the seat up.
Yeah.
Turns out it was Julian.
Whoa.
Listeners to the podcast might remember Julian and I lived together for a number of years. And now we don't. But
is he just coming into your house?
He just comes around sometimes and says, and leaves things as he would have left them.
How is this figured out?
He came around for a watching of a Battlestar Galactica or something like that.
He was caught red-handed.
Used the loo. And when I saw it was up and I went, ah. So, apologies from my side. Humble.
Well, that's okay. I also have an apology to make on a loo topic.
Yeah.
Which is, I am now completely fine with using the disabled toilets.
What? Oh, okay, good. Yeah,
I've completely changed my mind.
Who's your apology to?
I think it's to Simon, because he was all for it.
Thanks.
It's got to be to the disabled community.
Well, no, not really.
Oh, like, what has turned you around on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, please explain.
It's the same thing that's happened on your floor that happened on our floor. And now we have one fewer toilet, and sure, the disabled people now have a toilet that they can use at their will. But I mean, we all have to queue. So it's just an issue of queuing.
Oh, this is just so great to be in the position.
I can't believe that out of three people in this day and age, the minority thinks that this is a problem.
Do you know what we need to do, Andrew? We need to go to his place of work and turn one of his most beloved toilets into a disabled bathroom.
Sure. The toilets at my place of work are awful.
Well, imagine having one less awful toilet to go to.
Yeah, that's the problem. It almost sounds like a good thing.
I did find the toilets in Thailand to be amazing.
What?
I do not want to...
I do not believe this.
If I could,
is this a true or false?
No, this is a true. If I didn't have to wipe my bum with toilet paper anymore and would just be able to use that spray-y thing, I would...
Oh, but that's not a Thai invention.
I would gladly accept that.
No, I think it might be.
Bidet?
No, it's not a bidet.
Isn't it
like a handgun?
It's a handheld bidet.
Yeah, I've never experienced that before.
It's a Muslim thing, I think.
Well,
as opposed to just Thai.
Whoever's brought it to the table, I thank the...
Why are they bringing it to the table?
Never bring a bidet to the table.
That should stay in the bathroom.
It's a very long cord.
No, I agree with you. I've been to the bathrooms there. It is fun.
It's beyond fun. I find it more practical. I just love it.
Yeah,
really,
fun was a strange word to say, actually. You're right.
I wish to permanently to use...
Well, you might like this. At the house that we just mentioned, June and I lived in before, the tenants who lived there before me were, I think, of Muslim faith and had bidets installed. So we had them there at that house.
Did you use them?
They needed tap nozzles. So I don't think so. You would have had to like jam your thumb over it to get a strong spray.
Guys, it's not good for the drought. That's what I'm saying.
Look, you're probably right, but it is good for saving loo paper.
But you could use grey water to...
no one's going to
use grey water.
Use grey water.
I'm saying you could.
Yeah. Do you think we should get Simon a bidet for his B-Day?
It's a good idea. And a good joke.
I love it. Ants ate my Easter eggs.
Oh, that sounds like... your fault.
Or a children's book.
No, it was neither my fault or the children's book that I'm currently working on. I feel it's a bit rude for ants to assume that they can eat my Easter eggs. They're not even Christian, as far as I know, these ants. They've just gone out there.
Where were you over Easter?
I was here over Easter, but did not consume all my Easter eggs.
Ah, there's the problem.
So then when I was away, I came back and found out... Well, actually, I didn't find out. My wife found out, which... actually means she's potentially just eaten my Easter eggs and blamed it on the ants. I don't know. But anyway, I came back to find out that the white eggs, the holy grail of the Easter egg, the white candied egg, had been eaten by ants, which is no good.
So they only ate those ones?
Yeah, they were picky.
Maybe they were trying to burrow in for like a nice chocolatey home.
Possible.
So think about an ant living inside there. It'd be brilliant.
It would be a good home. My problem with this in general is that even after realizing this and trying to now get rid of these ants is, for one, they are not going away anywhere. It's pretty frustrating. They seem to keep on coming back, even though the eggs are gone.
But what other techniques are you using?
Well, for example, if you look at my sweetie jar right now, yes, I have a sweetie jar.
Yeah.
I currently put it on a plate and then water was poured around it as a moat.
Very nice.
So that the ants couldn't get through.
Has that worked?
But
it has worked. But what is weird is that these ants have still tried to go for it and so have drowned themselves in the hope of chocolatey goodness.
But this is the thing. Oh, I've seen a similar thing with my cat's food bowl.
Yeah.
Got the special one that comes with a built-in like moat area because ants always go for the food. So you put water in and then they can't get across.
Yeah.
But they will make themselves a dead ant bridge, like sacrifice 50 of them to make a bridge and the others will walk across. It's crazy. They are so determined.
They are determined, but also clearly are going for things that aren't for them. Yeah. Like they can't just go for these Easter eggs. Cat food, clues in the title, it's for cats. Not
I'm surprised that you managed to leave the Holy Grail of eggs here and went on holiday and came back and expected them to still be here.
Well, I mean, who do you think someone would have broken in?
Well, I'm just surprised that you hadn't eaten them if they're such good eggs.
I hadn't had time. Easter was just before we left. I do love those eggs.
Did you have a mountain of eggs or something over Easter?
Well, I mean, we did have quite a, you know.
A six pack you can get through pretty quickly, surely.
Yeah, you could get through a six pack, but I mean, I would still think then you'd maybe want to get through a six pack in 6 days.
Right.
So you don't want to go,
and
you
on
know,
the seventh day, you rested.
You don't want to go through like six eggs in 1 day. That's too much biting and too much candy.
That's true. I also spotted, this is quite a fun throwback. I don't know if you guys remember Boombox Guy from a few weeks ago. I saw him again, but in more of like a mirage kind of way. I heard him. I heard him first. So I was at this cafe down the road walking back to my flat, and then I heard the sultry tones of the Boombox Guy. But then he was walking towards me, but then turned down some other road, and then I couldn't see him. And then I just briefly saw him like across another kind of intersecting road. And then when I got to the top of that other road, I looked down and he wasn't there anymore.
Hectic.
Was he there then?
Could you hear him?
I don't know. I couldn't hear him anymore, no.
Wow.
So maybe Boombox Guy is a ghost.
He could 100% be a ghost.
Yeah.
Because that would explain why he so often appears in Cavendish. Because there are other malls available.
Oh, he's not Cavendish Guy.
He's not Cavendish Guy.
This is Harfield Village Guy.
Oh, this is a different
ghost.
This is
the guy who carries around what looks like a car battery but sounds like a boombox and wears backwards caps and like sarongs.
I wonder what the story behind his death was. Was he killed? Was he killed by a boombox?
I think killed by a car.
Killed by a car.
Yeah, so he carries around the car battery as some kind of a totem to his living soul.
What kind of music is he playing?
It's like really like
Grateful Dead stuff.
It's like hard metal stuff. Yeah.
So it's
like angry music.
I mean, that's not really synonymous with the boombox thing. Normally that's hip hop or rap or something.
Sure.
But ghosts
at the times.
Ghosts are, you know, they prefer their metal, you know. They prefer their hardcore stuff.
I think if he started listening to Enya and let his spirit go a little, maybe he'd move on into the next realm.
It's possible. I witnessed a car accident this week.
Oh my word.
I'd say I witnessed a car accident is probably saying a bit too much. I witnessed one of those really big witnessed the lamppost on the N2 fall over. And then I assumed that a car had been involved in the falling over of that the lamppost. It turns out everyone was fine. There didn't seem to be any like danger, which then made me wonder how hectic the car was to have been able to knock over a lamppost
in terms
people
of devastation,
still the tail.
This sounds like one of those headlines you get from like the news from a small village in the middle of England. Lamppost falls over, no one hurt. Yikes.
This made me like, I always assumed that those things were like really heavy.
Yeah.
But now I'm just thinking, you know, based on the damage done to the car, I mean, it was quite a bit of damage, but not enough to kill someone. And now I think, you know, maybe we can go around pushing lampposts over just with our
hands. Like lamppost tipping.
And I'm pretty sure if you push one at the right angle, you can get all of them.
That would be good.
Driving a motorbike in traffic is dangerous enough.
Right.
Okay. You have pitfalls. Well, not really. potholes, smaller pitfalls, dangerous drivers. But the scariest thing that I've seen recently was a fairly, I don't know, not a fancy car at all, but on each of the four wheel nuts, I don't know if you've seen the movie Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
With the chariots.
Well, I've seen the scene you're referring to.
And the spikes that emanate from the chariot wheels.
It was like James Bond car.
On each wheel nut, it had a metal spike that was about 20 centimeters long sticking out from the wheel.
Surely not.
No, surely that's illegal.
Well, that's what I thought.
What do you think he uses it for? Do you think it's for scooters and motorbikes and bicyclists?
It's got to be for challenging in a drag race.
It must be.
Yeah.
He must be like a kind of rogue medieval drag racer.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Or a Mad Max villain.
This was in traffic.
That is very strange. I'm worried for you. What routes are you taking?
Well, I'm taking the same route. I haven't seen the car again.
Yeah, he slipped into the night.
Do you think there might be one of those things? Because wasn't the big thing about Ben-Hur was that there was some guy with like a Rolex or something like that in the iconic chariot chariot scene. Do you think in this car, instead of a normal digital display, it's got a sundial?
He is the crossover between Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
Nice, maybe.
Could be. I saw the car again. You can just take little marshmallows and put them on the spikes.
Yes.
And make it safe
and
for everyone.
Set it on fire.
Well,
toasted marshmallows. Oh, you won't go in there. Okay.
Oh, toasted marshmallow rider.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work.
That's one of those things you don't check before you buy a new car, whether or not you're going to get.
If it's one of the additional add-ons.
Yeah.
Would you like aircon and chariot spikes?
I've been thinking about that with my car lately because obviously everyone wants good consumption. You want windscreen wipers that work, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Four wheels, if it's a four-wheel car, that kind of thing. But like, there's the smaller things that you don't often think about when you're setting off that you realize, oh, this is awesome that I have this. The aux cable, that's a classic. These days, you got to go for the aux cable. Or what's
or
one
Bluetooth.
Better?
Bluetooth these
Bluetooth
days is good.
Is nice. Bluetooths. The plural there. Cup holders. I had never realized before what I was missing, not having cup holders.
Cup holders are good.
Has anyone been to a movie lately? There's an ad where they're advertising a new car and it's got dogs in it and they do all these dog puns and they talk about pup holders. And I laughed out loud, unabashedly. I thought that was hilarious. So pup holders is good.
Okay.
In a car.
How big is your cup holder though? Because the cup holder needs to be a fairly big size to really deliver.
It's so far it's held all the cups I've wanted it to hold.
Has it hold the
won't hold like a 2 liter bottle.
No, I mean that's ludicrous. It's not a bottle holder.
No.
I don't know, is because for me the way you measure the success of the cup holder is can it hold the large Coke from McDonald's.
Okay, I think it would.
Okay,
but I don't often go for the large Coke from McDonald's. In fact, neither do you.
I don't.
Barbecue chicken burger or whatever it was that you go for. Medium meal. I know that comes with a medium drink.
It's nice to know that if I ever upsize, that my car can take it.
That's true. Then there's the obvious kind of throw up between the alarm that tells you your seatbelt's not on.
Oh, no thanks.
For example. Yeah. Or the one that tells you you've left your lights on.
Oh, that's a good
when
one.
When you get out the car.
Yeah,
now, I didn't think about that again when I'm buying the car. I'm looking at like dings in the doors and stuff like that. You don't think ahead. Fortunately, I got the better of the two, the lights on one. So that's very good. But I've recently, now that it's getting a bit colder, I recently found out the one, and this is a PSA to everyone who's thinking about getting a new car. You must check this out. Do you have that thing where when you wind down your window all the way and then wind it back up, it kind of cleans it because of the felty, felty little bit that it wipes past? I don't have that.
What do you mean you don't have that? Isn't that like a standard thing?
Window is frosty, wind it down, wind it back up, still frosty.
I don't think... I thought it would be impossible not to have that. I think that's just standard with Windows.
But
I think your car owner who had it previously has gone out of his way.
To bend the felt so that it doesn't touch the glass. Yeah. No, I just don't think it's a given. I think it's one of those things that you think, yeah, sure, my car will do that.
But it's not really a feature.
No, check it out.
It's just a thing.
It is a feature.
It's not a feature.
I'm starting to say that this is a feature. I'm starting a movement here.
I
should be maybe, you know, airbags... That thing that happens when you wind your windows down. Because it's impossible to turn some corners sometimes. You have to wind the window down. It's freezing.
If you're starting a revolution, that you need to give this thing a catchy name.
Yeah.
Well, that felty thing that kind of
that's
cleans
not
the
doing
frost
it.
Off
yeah,
the windows.
That's not catchy at all. It needs to be like
the
you've got the windscreen wiper, so you need the
and then when
the
they
window
come back
wiper.
Up, the frosty is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, have you checked the driveway? Maybe your one's just fallen off.
My what?
Well, your
my door.
My
felty bit. When you wind the window down,
that
all
thing.
The way,
the
and
window,
then back up, the frost is gone.
The window
it's
cleaning
starting
Muppet.
To kind of catch on. The name.
No,
of it.
No, it's
the
not
felty
really.
Bit,
it's kind of jazzy.
Down.
Yeah, it's not. It's not
free-form
catching on
jazz.
At all.
Yeah.
That. I mean, surely every car has that. I can't.
No, you know what? My car doesn't have it.
What?
It's only because it fell out.
Ah, see, that's what I'm saying. Check your.
But I couldn't get it back
privilege.
In.
What do you mean you couldn't get it back in?
I couldn't. I honestly couldn't get the
it
felty bit that
like
wipes the window to when it goes
car.
Down. Yeah, well, it just doesn't go back in.
Could you not speak to someone who knew how to get it back in to put it back in?
Who would that person be?
A mechanic.
Yeah.
I don't know any mechanics.
Well, one day there's going to be specialists who deal, you know, solely in the felty bit that when you went down a window.
No,
all the way.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, there's no YouTube channels saying a do it yourself, fix the
felty bit when you wind down the windows and the frost is gone. Starting to abbreviate now.
Yeah, there's none of that.
Have you just sort of the obvious thing and gotten like some sort of cloth to wipe your windows with before getting into the car?
No.
What about getting a bit of felt that when you wind down the window?
Anyway, wipes up and the frost if anyone's gone. Out there and has experienced a similar thing to me and been disappointed that when you wind down the windows and they came back up, the frost was still there, then, you know, let me know. We can console each other on that one.
Fair enough.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
So I went to Thailand, as you probably know, because we mentioned it like 17,000 times before I left. does anyone have any questions now that I'm the Thailand expert?
I'd like to know one thing.
Yeah, go.
How did you deal with the heat?
I'm born for that kind of weather. I loved it. I lapped it up.
Heat of the food.
I embraced
you see,
it.
Trick question. Could have been any. Either way you went, you'd have been wrong.
Yeah, that's true. The thing is, I went on a Thailand cooking course.
Oh.
I went a bit too late. I went like 2 days before we left in terms of really understanding their food.
Why did you go on a cooking course? I mean, the whole point is to go there and eat food prepared by other people.
Yeah, I know, but you love it so much. You're like, well, I want to take a bit of the tastes home with me.
Yeah.
Oh, this will spoil on the plane.
Yeah.
May as well learn how to make it.
The problem with Thailand food, or Thai food, as some people call it, is that
the land is silent.
80% of the ingredients you're going to want when you come back here, you just can't get.
Oh, you've got to go to the right shops, though.
Yeah. Cool.
Have you found them?
Teach me them.
Teach
me the shops.
I'm pretty sure Chinatown will help.
Chinatown.
Totally different, yeah. I know it's a different place, but I think they use similar spices.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's racist.
I think.
So you went to a cooking course?
I went to a cooking course, and I found out that there are things that you're meant to eat in some of the kind of soupy stewy kind of things and things that you're not meant to eat.
I see you got the technical terms down.
Yeah. The things that are called eat me, like eat me chili, and there's don't eat me chili.
Oh, okay.
So that's helpful to know. So I ate a few don't eat me things before knowing that there was
don't
a
eat
distinct.
Me chilies.
Luckily, no, I didn't eat any chilies, but there were some things like, I don't know what they're called now, but lime-based leafy things that were in soups that you're meant to leave behind that I kind
of... They're just there for flavor.
Yeah, I tried to bite through and thought, that's a bit unpleasant. I don't know why they put this there.
Is it the lime leaf that also has a word on the front of it that we don't like to say?
Oh, yeah, we can't say that word.
Incredibly close to a very, very terrible South African word.
Yes, oh, no, wow. You can't go anywhere near it.
Okay, so there's something lime leaf you're meant to just leave in the soup.
So I found that interesting. But anyway, what I was going to say about this cooking class is that they've right up front, we're talking about the different flavors in the Thailand food and how they like to balance their flavors between sweet, salty, spicy, and I think there might have been something else.
Umami.
Uvavu.
Iranu. But the point is that because it's always a balance, because that's what they're aiming for. Yeah. I found that naturally speaking, without having to ask whether things are going to be too hot or not, things are normally sort of in my range of I can handle this.
Okay.
They weren't ever trying to, you know, here's 17,000 chilies
so
crammed
you have to
into
go
a
out
pad
of your
thai.
Way to get something hotter kind of thing.
Yeah, totally.
That's
which is
quite
good.
Nice.
So yeah. I enjoyed it.
What was the weirdest thing that you ate?
Oh, the McDonald's there was...
Did you try McDonald's there?
I did try McDonald's once just to see what it was like.
And?
I say once, I mean twice. But the burger buns the burger buns are thicker than our buns here.
Mm.
Slightly more sweet, but that's about it. The weirdest thing I ate was probably there was a sausage that looked like it was going to be a pork sausage. That's what I was kind of... I was hoping for it to be a pork sausage. It looked like one of the biggest pork sausages I would have ever seen and hopefully then eaten. And so that's why I was so excited for it. And I bit into it. And unbeknownst to me, it was not really jam-packed with pork, but rather with other smaller, weirder sort of things that at the time I didn't really know what it was.
And now?
I've subsequently learned that it was like glass noodles and some other interesting things. But at the time, I was very much like, for all I know, I could be eating maggots.
Yeah.
And considering I don't know what I'm eating, I'm going to have one or two more bites and then call it a day.
Yeah, there's literally nothing worse than expecting the best pork sausage yes. you've ever eaten and getting glass noodles.
So
yeah.
How did you get into a situation where you were biting into a sausage that you didn't know what it was?
He was on Nickelodeon's because, like blindfolded yeah. eating game show.
Because for me, that is never happening.
Well, no, okay, for starters... All right.
Yeah, what did you have for starters?
if it looks like a pork sausage, right? Yeah. If you came around to my house for breakfast, I was frying up something in the kitchen and yeah. I gave you something that looked like a bigger than usual pork okay. sausage.
Was this?
Would you at that moment think, that's not filled with pork?
No, okay, I guess yeah. I need more context. So was this in a restaurant?
No, it was not in a restaurant. Oh. It was at a market where they had...
Hells no.
Is that the bins behind a restaurant?
Was at a market where there were loads of variety of meats and things on sale. Yeah. I saw what looked like pork.
Yeah.
I thought, I have to try it. I told myself I'm going to try new and interesting things this holiday. And so if it's not pork, you know, fair enough. I'm going to try it anyway. I'm going to put myself out there. But then when I butted in and could not really ascertain what on earth it was, I thought, I don't want to eat anymore until I know what's going down.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. What were the most average things you ate?
I mean, I just had a lot of... I've tried to go for the things on the menu that like I didn't know. So
right.
duck, pad, pry, prick. I'm like, what's the prick part? That sounds... that sounds hectic.
I thought you would have learned from your sausage experience.
Is that what we would in slang think would be not a very good thing to eat at all? Or is that while you're eating it, someone just pokes you with a needle? Yeah. I don't know.
The 4D experience.
Yeah. Let's go and figure it out. So I ate a lot of that kind of thing.
That's cool.
I just want a quick, not Thailand related. Earlier, when I offered you an ice lolly,
yeah.
you looked at me like as if I was insane. Please explain yeah. your reaction.
Well, it's winter now.
Well,
it's
hold cold. Hold on. I wasn't offered any ice lollies.
It's cold.
We came in at the same time. When did this happen?
You must have just not heard the offering of
goodness
the ice
gracious.
Lolly.
I'd have gone happily for an ice lolly.
No, listeners well. Don't know that it is cold.
Before Simon's leaving, you may have an ice lolly.
Thanks.
Simon's in slippers, and I just didn't feel... I just come off a quite a cold motorcycle yeah. ride, and I didn't feel like... I didn't mean to offend you.
No, I just find it interesting that you would think that you can... Do you think people in like really, really cold countries are just not having ice lollies and ice cream?
So I just I have a question is... is this a pork ice lolly?
No, it's okay. not a pork ice lolly.
What is
it's
it?
It's a chicken ice lolly. No, it's just a normal Playtime Gatti's ice cream. Look, the type of ice cream is not important here.
Playtime's the absolute best.
To me it is, because I like to know what I'm eating before I take two inquisitive bites.
So when you're, I don't know, when it's like a winter's day and you're sitting down at a restaurant, you don't feel like wine. It's the beginning of your meal. Yeah. You don't feel like tea. Do you go, can I please have my Coke warm, please? Can you heat up my Coca-Cola?
Mm.
No, I appreciate the offer. I'll have one later.
Speaking of ice and winter's days, don't you hate when the frost kind of on the window of your car
yeah.
just won't go away?
It's when the worst.
Funny there's a name for the thing that
some
took
kind
it away.
Of felt thing.
So I'll tell you what happened. So here's my little bit of travel advice. You kind of talked about traveling before we went on the podcast break. And I feel like I can at least give one piece of information from my trip, which actually genuinely might be useful for anyone who is going anywhere on the coast. Mm-hmm. And that is maybe always have check the sort of the ocean that you're about to walk into and make sure that it's not, I don't know, filled with sea urchins.
Whoa.
That might be handy. Because here in the beaches in Cape Town, you can quite comfortably stroll into the water, not really worry
for
about
miles.
Yeah, for ages. You can get to Australia and until you hit that barrier reef, you're pretty much in the clear. But so I kind of, on the very first beachy kind of place we were at, I thought, I'm going to go out for a nice little swim. And then this was in the evening and I kind of went out and I was like, oh, it's very rocky here. It's not very pleasant. This is weird. I thought Sowry Beach was meant to be a really great beach to go, not just a fun name to say. Sowry Beach.
So, you clearly figured out how to have fun with it.
Yeah, definitely. So then the next day I thought, okay, what I'm going to do is I know it's quite unpleasant out here with there seems to be lots of rocks, potentially coral, I don't know yet. I'm going to try swim over this part of it, get to the safe side where I'm imagining deeper ocean where you can then have a proper swim. Otherwise, why are people going to this beach?
Yeah.
I don't know. So I tried to do that. And then I thought, well, I don't know if I'm over it yet. I don't have goggles on. Can't look down. What I'll do is I'll just sneakily, very gently, as soft as touch as I can, put my foot down to see, not even my foot, just my toe, just a little toe down to see whether anything is going to bite me or be troublesome.
Yeah.
And right then and there, urchin. Bam. Oh. Urchin in the toe.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you pee on it?
I didn't pee on it.
Just pee on the urchin. take that.
I heard that doesn't work.
But peeing on the urchin. You didn't, no, yeah. You're not meant to pee on the urchin. Okay, you're meant to pee on the jellyfish.
Pee on the wound.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, a good friend and listener to the show, Hugh Lashbrook, I think, had a similar thing on his trip to Thailand. So, you know, maybe if he'd had a podcast that we listened to, he would have known.
Yeah. So from then on, the basic rule was just look where you're swimming. Make sure that you're not swimming on any things that are going to hurt you. Well, I didn't manage to get hurt.
Before that, it was like, just tape your eyes closed and go for it.
I did get hit by urchin again.
Sure. You were just lurching about.
But this one was particularly, I was quite upset about this one because this one was in the shallow end and on my hand.
Oh no.
I feel like...
Isn't this like dangerous to one's health being stung by urchins? What happened? I see you scratching quite a lot.
Yeah, I'm dying.
You've got a skin disease.
There are urchins that I think are... There are some poisonous, really bad urchins, but actually, apparently, the ones, at least the ones that we were standing on in Thailand, are not that bad and are mainly calcium. So actually, if you stand on them, what you're meant to do is just sort of rub a beer bottle or something against your foot, break off all the sort of bit that's sticking out, and then the bit that's kind of left in, if you rub the bottle, will sort of break up, and it's just calcium and will get absorbed by your body.
Healthy, actually.
Yeah.
Like a little snack for
strong
your feet.
Teeth and bones.
Snack for your feet.
What I really like is the idea that, you know, things got a little serious and informative there, that somebody somehow is listening to this and they've just trodden on an urchin. And this is actually useful information to them. They've got their podcasts in on their ears, walking along a beach.
What do I do?
Well, that's what we want to do. We want to educate here.
Yeah. Just rub it in. Just nice. Andrew, what have you been up to in the last 2 weeks since Simon's been away?
I've been raising a daughter.
Brilliant.
Haven't you been doing that for like almost the better half of the year?
Yeah, he's only just taken to it now.
It's taking a lot longer than I thought it would. Well, I went to the dermatologist.
Okay.
As a general checkup.
Who goes to the dermatologist for a general checkup? Surely you must have inkling. You must have an inkling that something's, I've got a bit of a rash.
Checking yourself up or checking your daughter up?
No, me. For me.
We moved off the you're raising your daughter thing.
Yeah, that's old news.
Okay. Sorry.
Have you ever been to the dermatologist before?
Is this like to check your moles?
Yeah, a mole check.
I've only just booked a thing to check my moles.
Really? Yeah. And but where's your dermatologist based?
Where are your moles? They're on my skin, Andrew. Constantia?
Okay, all right, so it'll be a different person.
I've been to the dermatologist once before.
Yeah, where are you going with this, Andrew?
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't go for a routine checkup to the dermatologist.
Well, that's fine. You can go for whatever reason you want to go for.
But I want to know
why. But
you're
not a moly person.
Oh, you're a moly person.
I'm a moly person.
I can see about two from here on Andrew.
All right, that makes
sense. Be careful.
Sorry for hauling you over the coals. I didn't think you were a moly person. And so I was wondering if, you know, this is the same thing of getting your prostate checked with every couple of years you're meant to go to the dermatologist and be like, what am I like?
You are. So I was going to go check my moles. The problem is that at some stage during that process, you've got to drop trowel.
Sure.
Basically.
Hectic. Do you have moles on the...
No, I don't. But it was the first time that I've been to... I don't. I do not.
He's got a mole on the mole.
As a guy who's had his moles checked,
this
talking
was
about
the
dropping
first
trowel
visit.
Is...
This was the first visit.
Hectic.
And so you needed to do a thorough...
That's hectic to do on the first date.
It's very hectic. Anyway, what's more hectic is that this guy, his office is... it's on the kind of, I don't know, fourth floor of the hospital building.
Yeah.
All right. And he's got the, you know, the table where you lie down.
Is this hectic because you refuse to drop trowel on the fourth floor? Like it's third
Unless
floor,
it's
fine, second floor,
bathroom.
Fine.
Well, so the table where you have to lie down and basically expose yourself is right next to the window. It's like, and it's a big window, and the window is below the level of the table. It's like from below to well above.
This is okay. It almost seems intentional on his behalf.
It's very odd, and I'm like, the only credit I can give to him is that maybe it gives good light. You know, we need light in these situations.
I think you're going to see the clip coming up of this on like Norwegian TV at some point.
But anyone in a, you know, in a, an apartment across the way,
it's just seeing your
just bum. Could look in.
Sure.
Get
check
a,
your moles.
Get a good look. Check my moles for
everyone
me.
Everyone gets to map your
maybe
moles.
Maybe he relies on that. Maybe he got a phone call straight after and said, like, look, I've just checked the rear.
Yeah.
There's no moles here.
Totally. It's 3D imaging.
But I want to know, should I have asked him to close the curtains? Should I have done that?
In
the moment, you know, you don't know what to say. You just go for it.
I don't know. I think you should still have control over things that are making you uncomfortable. Just like, just because he's got a certificate on the wall, doesn't mean like anything goes.
Andrew, sorry, I'm going to have to film this and put it onto YouTube to get a second opinion.
You did study for like 7 years.
Well, I mean, my moles have gone viral, so.
Let's hope not.
You speak about dropping trowel, and when we were in Kopipi, just another fun word to say.
It is good. Where did you go, Pee-pee?
Sorry, beach. So anyway, when we were there, basically the one side of the island where there's kind of beach, the main kind of hub is like the pier and where all the boats are. It's relatively sophisticated. Everyone there, you know, is pretty much behaving themselves.
Yeah.
Other side, the raucous. It's just one. It's like if you've ever seen an American spring break movie where people are having like some sort of wild party.
Yeah.
It's that, except like on steroids.
But also it's very close, the two sides, aren't
they? Oh, yeah. It's like 2 minutes away. Yeah.
Who's having the party? Is it tourists or is it locals?
It's tourists going to parties that are probably hosted by
The Mykonos of Thailand.
Yeah. Okay. And there's like people doing poi everywhere, like literally everywhere. Yeah. Like they're doing poi in places where you'd think that's probably not even worth trying to do poi. Like there was a guy doing it on a tightrope. Just going, I mean, that's just, you're just making life harder for yourself. I don't know. And there's a guy there with a flamethrower, like a proper like flamethrower.
Sounds
just
amazing.
That sounds like
shooting fire into the air. There's another guy that seemed to be able to do like the human firework where he basically became some sort of sparkler.
Put him out. It was like, it's just part of the spectacle. He's like, somebody help me.
It really
sounds
was
fantastic.
It was insane. But there was a person there at some stage that had like the whole hello can you go kind of going
limbo.
The old limbo and someone had a sign there saying topless girls free bucket. Like naked men free bucket. Now I should probably explain, it's not just you're
free
getting a bucket.
This is on a beach, right?
This is
you
on a beach.
You can make little sandcastles.
Yeah. It's not really, the intention is not, oh, people are going to want to make sandcastles after the limbo.
Okay.
Let's give them a bucket. You know, if you do this, you'll get a spade as well. It's more that there's this new thing going around where you just pour a bunch of alcohol into a bucket and then drink it. It's like, it's like what you do.
It's like the jam jar equivalent.
But I was thinking this must like backfire quite often for the people holding that sign, offering the free things. Because if I think about my friendship group like 10 to 15 years ago, I don't think we would have thought much about just, you know, dropping trowel, covering up, and then getting a bucket. And knowing my friendship group, we would have thrown out the alcohol and gone and make a sandcastle.
You say 10 to 15 years ago. That's insane. 10 to 15 minutes ago.
I don't know anyone in the friendship group who would be able to do the limbo to get the free bucket.
I think I could do a pretty decent
Andrew,
limbo.
These things are well out of your reach.
Yeah, I know.
Anything that involves getting low.
That's what I mean.
Claire could walk under.
Yeah. Is it a sketch show? No! It's a sketch note show!
Well, we are actually coming to you from Simon's house. We didn't mention that at the top of the show. It's the old studio.
We thought we'd leave it as a surprise for when you got 40 minutes in.
Yeah, it's good to be back.
And, surprise!
Using this opportunity to rebirth the old sketch show. Sorry, I was trying to make it sound like I was leading up to something, but we've already played a sting.
Yeah.
They know it's the sketch show, no the sketch show. Well, anyway, it's got quite dark. All that banter at the front of the show has meant that I can hardly see. But what I was thinking about on the way here is that obviously our sketch show is hilarious because I'm doing a sketch,
yeah,
and nobody ever gets to see that.
You say obviously, but
that's the premise. I say hilarious. but what our sketch show lacks is jokes, because sketch shows usually have jokes
in it.
So beyond this, me sketching a thing for a long time and it being kind of awkward, maybe you guys could just tell a few jokes.
Oh, we can tell the jokes.
Yeah. And we could insert a bit of humor into an otherwise humorless section of the podcast that nobody wants back. But because I'm sitting here with the sketch open, I do want to continue it.
I mean, do the jokes have to be sketch related?
No, not at all. There just needs to be some level of humor. I've watched sketch shows and usually there are jokes and laughter involved.
All right, well, I mean, let's try one.
Yeah, so, just, you know, joke amongst yourselves.
So, someone's committed a crime and we've gotten the guy to come in and draw the picture and we're trying to find like the person, but if anyone's sketchy, it's the guy who's drawing the picture, not the person we're trying to arrest. Hey, there you go.
That's a joke.
About that is he made it a sketch related joke.
Thank you.
Brilliant. Now, Andrew, I mean, that's big shoes to fill.
Okay. Two cartoonists who are enemies walk not into a bar, but onto that like cowboy set where they're going to try and kill each other.
Okay, yeah.
And then one of them shouts, draw.
Yes.
That's very good.
That is fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of big shoes to fill.
Yes.
Yeah. Andrew lent me his wetsuit and booties.
Yeah.
Now the wetsuit.
Yeah.
A big wetsuit is okay because you can kind of roll things up. Yeah. But big booties, I don't like big booties.
And you cannot lie.
I cannot lie about it. They without trying to offend, they felt genuinely like I was wearing clown shoes.
Okay.
And they did not help the surf.
Don't worry, I was not offended by that whatsoever.
Okay, so that was the sketch show. I added one line to a roof.
Well done.
Thanks.
It was a good line.
Yeah.
Is it true? Is it false? True or false?
In this round, everyone gets to share something which may or may not be a fact, and everyone else has to decide what they think it is, whether it's true or whether it's false.
Mm.
So, Andrew, I think you should go first.
Okay. As another act of self-improvement, following on from my epic rap skills.
Yeah.
I am learning.
You know, that's gone viral, by the way.
Has it?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I've listened to it twice. It was so impressive.
Oh, thanks.
I haven't revisited it.
That's okay.
Thanks.
I am teaching myself how to do a kickflip.
A kickflip?
You are teaching yourself.
Yeah.
How are you teaching yourself?
This is vague though, Simon. Surely we need to clamp down on the rules of true or false here.
I'll be more specific.
I could say that I'm teaching myself a thing and all you needed to have done is like looked up what a kickflip is and you're at phase one of teaching yourself.
Okay, I have acquired a skateboard.
Okay.
And I am teaching myself how to do a kickflip.
Well,
I'm actively practicing the art of a kickflip.
Well, what's good to know about this now is that I didn't even know that would involve a skateboard. So, really,
what did you think a kickflip was?
I thought it might be some sort of ninja move. I thought, okay, that's fair enough. He wants that skill. He might need to like use it one day when he's protecting his family when the ninjas attack. But it's interesting to know that it involves a skateboard. So, how do you hurt someone with a skateboard?
No, it's not a ninja move.
For the listeners who don't know, what exactly is the kickflip?
A kickflip is it's a skateboarding trick that is kind of just above base level. So base level would be an ollie, which is just a jump.
Can I ask a question?
Up and down on a skateboard.
Technical question, yes. Right. You're going to have to look at me and podcast listeners. I'll try to describe this to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
But say you were standing, right?
Okay.
And you laid your board wheels up, so it's kind of lying on where you would normally stand, right? And you place the board wheels up on your feet, right?
So your toes are under it.
Toes are under the board.
Yeah.
And you jump up and you land on the board.
Right.
Now, what is that called?
Base level, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
one below.
I can do that.
Doing a flip in between.
That's my go-to move.
What do you want to call it? The Simon?
I've got a technical question.
Yeah.
The trick you mentioned just before, that the base level one,
Ollie.
What was that? Ollie.
Yeah.
Now, is that spelt like the name Ollie?
It's O-L-L-I-E.
I've heard a lot of people say Ollie.
What do you mean?
Which would
what?
Imply AR kind of LY. No.
Oh, like Arliss and Melon.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's no, it's O so it's double Ollie. L-I-E. Yeah.
Okay.
Ollie.
Well, he's done his research. True.
Okay, so what made you pick this particular skill and why are you calling it a skill?
So, so I had a skateboard when I was in primary school.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty useless.
What type of skateboard was it?
Just a standard skateboard.
No, don't say standard. There's loads. There's the ones that were like the almost oversized ones that were not like the kind of thin ones. No, it wasn't a long board. It was just bigger than it should be.
Yeah, and it only had a ramp on the one side.
And then
like
there
a
were,
penny board.
Yeah, maybe.
No.
And then there were ones that were like super thin and plastic, which...
There were like snake are boards. Boards. Those are cool.
Yeah. But you can't do a kickflip on front. A snake board. No.
Are you attached to a snake board? Do you like strap in like a wakeboard?
Yeah, I think you have to. Maybe you don't.
Because
maybe
it you rhymes, don't. You have to do the same thing.
Anyway, and I couldn't, do it, Maui I couldn't and do it then, and so one. It's just something to do now.
It's a toy machine. Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
I want to know... No, because... I had one of the crap skateboards. My parents obviously didn't go to skateboards.com and saw like what.
Well, we just went to Sportsman's Warehouse and got... See, and,
you had a skateboard.
And actually, I had to pay it back over a number of months.
When I was young,
this was the first time
back?
I tried.
It's like, you can have it, but you have to pay me because it's a waste of our time.
I don't think Sportsman's existed when I was
having a skateboard. Simon had a skateboard.
I'm a lot younger than you.
Yeah, that's true.
And a lot taller.
So, okay, all right.
How far along are you in the learning of the trick? Besides acquiring a skateboard?
So I can get it to do...
Oh, you haven't described the trick.
Okay, so what you do is you're on the board, right?
Yeah.
So the
which way are you on? Are you on the board like the right way around?
I'm not, or yeah, the Simon I'm, way with the wheels on involved?
Yeah, I'm regular, so okay. I'm not goofy.
All right.
More technical terms for you. Basically, you're starting to do an ollie. So your front foot is slightly back.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you kick back on the your back foot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So you lift it up, and then as you bring it up, you slide your front foot forward.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you land again to do an ollie. But with a kickflip, your front foot is on the side of the board, so that as you do that, you kick down and you spin the board around.
Okay.
And how then many you times? Have to land once.
Once?
Yeah. Just lazy. Once. Anyway, I can get it to land upside down.
Hey, land on the Simon position.
Yeah, land on the Simon.
Well, I know what trick you can do when you get there.
Yeah, from there.
So not very far, so halfway.
Okay. I think he's trying to M. Night Shyamalan on us.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to turn out that he can do it and has been able to do this move for like years.
But then that would be would that be a false then?
It would be a false.
Busy teaching himself.
Yeah. Because he already knows it. And I say this because I know Andrew, he is just filled with random skills. Like that time when we found out that he was basically some sort of recorder jukebox and could play any song we wanted on the recorder.
When was that?
That was at somebody's bachelor's.
Was it my bachelor's?
I can't remember. Probably was yours. So I'm going to go for false. You already know how to do this kickflip move and you've probably been doing it for years.
I'm going to say that you're probably right, Simon, but for the sake of stakes, I'll go for you don't know how to do it, but you want to be a cool dad for your daughter, and you're going to wear a backwards cap, and you're going to have long baggy pants and your socks pulled up, and you want to be able to do a kickflip, and you've never been able to do one before, and you are learning now from scratch.
Okay.
True.
I mean, this is confusing now, because the answer is false, but...
It's false because none of it is true.
I want to be like Dylan, but... I am more like Simon.
Oh, what does that mean?
I am not learning how to do it, but I also have never been able to do it and cannot do it.
That's neither of what we said, except Simon did say false.
But you did say false.
I get the point.
Well done.
Yes. Yay!
Okay, well, my thing that I'm bringing is actually related to Thailand. I thought I'd celebrate your return from Thailand with a Thailand fact. Thanks, Andrew. Didn't think the same. And also, you brought up something earlier that made me gulp because I was like, oh, that's so similar to mine. But here's my fact. In Thailand, I went on a cooking course, but had to leave due to a fact coming up that I hadn't planned on. That's the fact. Am I going to give you any more?
Because you had to leave because of a fact coming up.
So we have to ask you what the fact is.
Something about the cooking course
came up and I was like, oh, I didn't know that because I can't read Thai.
Okay, what was it?
Yeah, see. the anticipation.
Well, I'm confused. So he was at this. So it's not like he was so at this cooking course.
I think he's already told us that he went to a cooking course when he was in Thailand. So that is not the fact he's presenting.
Okay.
The fact he's presenting is what he's building up to now.
Is someone whispered?
It's all part of the fact.
Is it?
I just didn't want to say the whole thing because there aren't that many
levels
not,
to it.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to mine much out of it.
So
I'm just trying to figure out. Was he at this course?
Wait, we're taking further back. I once did a thing. Go.
Okay. Was he at this course? Did someone say, "Hey, man, the world is round"? And he was like, "What the hell? I'm out of this course. My mind's been blown. I can't cook anymore.
Sorry,
I've got more
the
important
word
things."
Fact has obviously thrown you.
Yes,
it was an aspect
of the course.
Of the course.
Oh, it's like you're going to have to cook naked or something.
That I was uncomfortable with. Yeah, similar. And
too uncomfortable with. Okay, what was the aspect?
do you really want to know? Why don't we just go on that and then I'll say afterwards.
What was the aspect?
The aspect was that we were going to be cooking some fairly unsavory meats.
What meats?
Oh, you mean like pet meats?
Pet meats.
Interesting.
Of the dog and cat variety.
See, I was in Thailand for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I mean, obviously I don't read Thai. But at no stage did it feel like anyone around me was eating dog or cat.
Apart from the sausage incident.
that wasn't sausage, but it also wasn't cat or dog. And there were loads of cats around. It was a very weird thing where, especially on Koh Phi Phi, there was literally like a cat almost. There was a cat almost in every outside every shop. And there were loads of shops. I mean, there were basically loads of cats everywhere. You couldn't walk, I'd say, 30 centimeters without seeing a cat.
What you're saying is that if one went missing, no one would notice.
No one would know. But also, I don't think anyone would want to eat those cats.
Guys, because don't trivialize. It's a big problem out there.
They looked pretty pretty manky. So I don't think anyone would go...
Because all the best ones are taken to the restaurants.
Hmm.
So did you ask for your money back?
No.
Why not?
Because it was one of those no money back kind of things.
Okay.
Even though you were grossly offended.
Well, it's like... They kind of would assume that you would know what you're getting yourself into, I think. So
did it have
it's
like,
almost like it's,
did the
it's
cooking like, course have like a nice picture of a happy cat on it that you mean?
A
you
lot
signed
of things had
it.
Pictures of happy cats on
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. Hello Kitty is big out there.
Yeah, right. It is quite big. I saw a Hello Kitty toilet plunger. Why does anyone need a Hello Kitty toilet plunger?
Saw and bought.
So I want to know a couple of things.
Yeah.
The first is where in Thailand was this course?
Phuket.
What was the name of the course?
The Hello Kitty
Delicious Cat
course. No, it was all just Thai stuff.
You don't remember the name?
The Hungry Lion.
My sister booked it and we went and then it turned out to be a disaster and we left.
But now your sister has been there for a while.
Yes, but what I didn't say is that this was on the first trip when she'd not been there for a while.
Okay. So can we double check that the disaster that made you leave the cooking course was definitely the fact that they were cooking cat, not just you got there, Falterbilt ill, and then went home.
Falterbilt ill.
I clearly meant Falterbilt ill, but at that stage, the dengue fever that I got from Thailand took over me.
No, I felt a bit ill. If anything made me feel a bit ill, it would have been the fact that there was cat being cooked.
Okay.
Had you already started cooking the cat?
No, my morals only kicked in halfway through.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe you didn't know until someone was like, this is cat.
No,
you
it was
cat's
very
out
much,
the bag.
It was
in the wok.
Don't forget dog.
Oh, okay. I have it now. I've remembered.
Yeah.
I mean, was that not as like shocking? Were you
no,
fine
it was.
With dog?
I brought up cat and dog. See, the truth about cats and dogs is that... Yeah. Cooking them is something that made me feel ill.
Right.
And I
don't remember that from the movie.
What was that movie about?
I don't know.
Was in it.
I think that this is not true. I feel like it definitely wasn't a big thing that we were exposed to in the various places we
How
went to.
How long did you go to Phuket for?
Not very long at all.
See. It's a different area. Patong.
But the McDonald's at Phuket definitely weren't doing a catty meal.
McDonald's.
McDougal's.
I mean, I don't know if anyone heard my hilarious catty meal, just in case.
Oh, I didn't. Sorry.
Catty meal, nice.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's pretty good.
It's very good.
It was rapid fire puns.
Yeah, though. I put some ketchup on it.
I was just about to say. I also think false. I don't think you would have left.
Okay. Well, I want to be like Andrew, but I'm more like Simon. And it just is just normal false.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Good.
I didn't even go to any Thai cooking courses. You can't even get me on.
Oh,
that.
I thought maybe it was a false.
I've
that
done
you
a
told before.
Course in Cape Town.
That was 100% false.
Yeah.
Would genuinely do they eat a lot of cat and dog in Thailand?
No idea.
Okay.
Yeah, it never came
sure.
up.
This feels like a stereotype that we've played into here.
A huge one. But I thought it would be. I genuinely banked on you guys going, yeah, that's a thing. and he might have gone for a cooking course. His sister's in Thailand.
I like the story.
Look, yeah. It might have worked had someone not just recently come from the place and started sprouting lies about.
See, had you talked about a kickflip?
No. All right. Well, my definite truth is that I have never seen an eclipse.
What?
Well, those little mints.
What do you mean little mints?
Little eclipse mints.
No, like an eclipse of the sun.
That's a shout out to my brother who brought some eclipse mints back from New Zealand when he visited us.
You have your own little moment with your brother there. He didn't show up for the show when he was meant to.
You made him wait like also till the end of the show to have a little shout out. It's really cruel. Hey brother, I mentioned you in the podcast when no one's, you know, when everyone's asleep.
He's listening. It's only because he's in New Zealand. So you've never seen an eclipse?
I've never seen an eclipse.
Not even in footage?
No, obviously I've seen an
eclipse. Oh, so you've seen an eclipse.
Okay, sorry.
You haven't seen it with your own eyes.
I've never seen an eclipse with my own eyes. Okay. In real life.
So you have to do it through a little shoebox with a
hole. Exactly. You've never done the little shoebox thing
never,
as a kid.
Never done the little shoebox thing.
Okay.
No, Andrew, not everybody went to scouts their entire lives and continues to go to scouts.
Okay.
I don't know if I've even seen an eclipse properly.
What?
Are you talking about a full eclipse? Is this a technicality? Just any kind of eclipse?
No, like any kind of eclipse, but specifically, I think there was a full one when I was like, or close to full one. I don't know how these things work. There was definitely one major one in junior school.
So those things are like an event that everyone looks up at. Yeah. What were you doing when it happened?
I had detention.
You had detention and the teacher was so hard-ass that they didn't let all the kids run over to the window and look at the thing that's only going to come up again in 2,000 years.
Well, that's what happened. It was I don't know if the teacher like had forgotten it was happening, but I was too scared because I was quite young at the time. I was too scared to be like, hey, teacher.
How young were you that you were in detention?
Yeah, I was very young. I was quite young.
Lies.
Now if you were too scared.
No, this is where it's become a lie.
No, it's like, I was in maybe, what was standard one?
You didn't go to detention in standard one. That's such a lie.
I totally went to
detention.
For what?
What did you do?
Swearing.
It's lies. You don't even swear now.
But I wasn't really swearing.
He was swearing at the moon.
Okay, no,
I was
going down this route more. What were you doing?
I was explaining the swear words to a friend.
Yeah. What they all mean.
Yeah, what they all mean. Like, this is what this means. This is what that means. Someone overheard me, said that Simon had been swearing. I got detention.
So I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's even less likely than not seeing an eclipse.
So anyway, we all done falses this week.
So that happened.
Interesting.
So that happened. I got detention. Yeah. I was young. I was too nervous to kind of say, can I see this thing?
Yeah. So what happened? Was the teacher looking out the window?
I just don't think the teacher cared. It didn't even maybe like cross his mind that this thing was happening.
I think it's more likely that Simon's just like not fazed about the scientific phenomenon that is an eclipse, that when it came around and everyone was typing on Facebook, oh, there's going to be a partial eclipse.
I don't think Facebook existed when it was a standard
one. No, you're talking about one specific eclipse. There's been partial eclipses. Since.
On the other eclipses, obviously wasn't in detention for every single one of them. I think
that'd be weird.
It was a mixture of when I was older, not really.
What's the pattern between eclipses? Yeah.
When I was older, I didn't really necessarily care about them.
Yeah, I think.
And when I was younger, I was quite scared about like even looking at things through, like I was told, don't look at the sun. So I was like, I'm not looking at the sun, whether it's through a tea bag or
a tea bag. Whoa, hold on. Who's looking at it through a tea bag?
I don't know what the thing is. Like folded up piece of paper seven times or whatever. Well, aren't you not meant to be able to fold this paper seven times?
Yeah.
Either way, I haven't seen an eclipse.
False. It's false.
You both think it's false.
Yeah.
You're correct. It is false.
I've seen every eclipse.
I have seen eclipses. I don't know how many. Yeah. I don't know which ones. I don't know if I even saw the important ones. I have literally no idea. I just know at some stage you probably have seen an eclipse. But
yeah.
I can get a sneaky point for that. I did go to detention instead of one.
For explaining swear words.
For explaining swear words.
Okay.
Yeah, so there it is. Interesting.
Should have gone with that as your fact. Sure.
Didn't think that would be so unbelievable.
Yeah. If I look up into the sky now, I can't see an eclipse, but what I can see is...
The quiz! That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's... time for the quiz.
Did he say the quiz there when we said the quiz?
I did. It was so under the breath.
It is. It's like almost unenthusiastically going. I mean, everyone loves us saying the quiz in unison. It's one of the main reasons they listen to the end of the thing and don't fall asleep like Andrew's brother.
Put it towards the end.
Yeah, and then here he is just not saying the quiz nice and loudly.
Guys, I think you need to check your attitudes and get serious for the quiz.
I'm serious. Quiz I think time. I'm going to start winning some quizzes now.
It's true. I've won more quizzes when we've recorded at your house.
Yeah.
And you've won more quizzes when you recorded at my house.
True.
Who knows who will win when we record at Andrew's?
Well, let's find out, because this week's quiz is the Bradley Cooper quiz.
Oh, yes.
Bradley T. Cooper.
We're going to start with Brownlee Cooperoni. Kind of works if you write it down. Yeah. Kind of. The first question, which is just a general knowledge question about Bradley Cooper, is which David Lynch film inspired him to be an actor?
Beep.
Simon.
I'm going to go for Wild at Heart.
Incorrect.
That would be Mulholland Drive.
Beep. Incorrect. It's old.
Beep.
It's
Blue Velvet.
1980.
Beep. Eraserhead.
Incorrect. Incorrect.
Beep. Elephant Man. No, that's not him.
Elephant Man.
Is the right answer, Dylan.
Thank you. I don't think Elephant Man is him.
It is him.
It
is him. And for a bonus point, he played Elephant Man recently on some theater.
Well, Dylan gets the point because he finished the full thing Elephant Man. Simon, you kind of petered out and then questioned yourself. So I'm giving it to Dylan.
Fair enough.
Question two is, during the filming of The A-Team, Bradley Cooper became so efficient in weapons training that he was able to reload his M4 rifle in how long?
Beep.
Simon.
In 22 seconds.
22 seconds.
Geez, is the closest thing wins.
I'm not sure yet. Dylan?
4 seconds.
Is exactly right. Less than 4 seconds.
Hectic.
Is exactly right. Less than 4 seconds.
Sorry, I think your final was less than 22 seconds as well.
That's true, but not close enough. Right. The third question is, early in his acting career, the actor had to miss what to film Wet Hot American Summer? Dylan?
He would have to miss the birth of a child.
Incorrect.
Beep his Simon. Prom.
It's incorrect.
Graduation.
Is the right answer, Dylan. Graduation.
On it today.
Yes, but I mean, you only got it because I said prom, and Andrew looked like I'd gotten it right and had to think graduation.
The fourth question is, how many scars on his forehead does he have? Simon.
He obviously has 3.
Okay.
2.
The closest answer will win this round, and it is 6. In 8th grade...
Well, you didn't say that up front.
Well, I can... It's the quiz. It's taken
as... It's the quiz?
In general, the last question in a round of questions is the closest to that answer.
I've got
a...
Look.
Wow, I have not picked up on that.
I know you're upset that I got a point, but I hadn't had a point up until this point, so I'm pretty happy.
But what if I'd whitewashed? Wouldn't that have been cool? Well, you'd have to run around naked. Here's the rules. It's the quiz.
I get a free... Do you want to know how he got those scars in his forehead?
No, not at all.
Well, you're going to find out. In 8th grade, a big glass lamp fell off the wall and onto his face, which is pretty harsh.
I knew that. Can I get a point?
No. We are moving on to round 2, which is a new round. Ooh, which I've called First, last. Best, Most.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And this is all to do with movies that he's been in.
Yeah.
All right. So, question 1 is first. All right. So,
yes,
you need to tell me, what is, of these 3 movies, which is the first film that he did? Okay, here is the list.
Mm-hmm.
Bending All the Rules, mm-hmm. Wet Hot American Summer,
beep.
My Little Eye.
Beep, beep, beep,
Simon.
Beep, beep. I'm pretty sure it was Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay. Dylan?
I haven't heard of the ones outside of Wet Hot American Summer, so I'm going to go for C,
Bending All the Rules.
Yeah.
Okay. My Little Eye, sorry. That was the third one.
C.
The correct answer was... Wet Hot American Summer.
Yeah. Ooh, no,
I watched the documentary, first. The making of, and that's how I know that.
And they say that was his first movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so Simon gets 2 points. Second round is best. Yeah. All right. So this is now the rating on IMDb.
Okay.
And which of these three films is best? Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Beeping in first. Like Guardians. Last time.
No.
Yeah. He did it last time. Why can I not be strategic?
What's your answer?
No, you finished them last time. Go back and listen.
Okay. I think I did finish them. Yes. So Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, and The Hangover.
Okay. So what's it? Which is best on IMDb? Guardians 1.
Guardians 1. Yeah. All right.
Beep, I think Dylan is correct. It's going to be Guardians 1.
Well, you're both wrong.
It's The Hangover.
No, it's Hangover.
It's Guardians 2. Oh.
No, what?
Yeah, with 8.2 at the moment.
Ah. Oh.
How's Guardians...
I don't know. That's just
critically, everyone's been saying that one was better. It's interesting.
Well, that's what IMDb says.
Hector.
And the last question in this round is most. So the highest grossing of his films.
Okay.
So the highest grossing of these three, American Sniper, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Hangover.
Guardians.
Okay, I'm going to say Hangover grossed more.
Okay, you're both wrong. It was American Sniper, which made $350 million.
I wouldn't have thought that.
So,
Guardians make like a billion?
Is
this profit?
Let's go with that. I don't know. It made the most on the website that I looked at. Right. We're moving on to round three, which is finish
it's
the...
just not true.
Finish the...
Cooper.
Pad Thai.
Quote. these are quotes from Bradley Cooper, and here's the first one. You can tell if someone's into you. You can feel the...
beep.
Dylan?
Energy?
No.
Simon. Vibe,
no. You're getting closer.
Romance.
No, Dylan. Simon? No. Dylan.
Love.
Beep. No.
Temperature.
No, you're on the right track, everyone, but it's kind of quite a common thing that you say when engaging well with someone. No, Dylan.
Beep. Atmosphere.
No, Simon.
Do one more.
You have great
chemistry.
Simon beeped and said it.
I did beep.
Damn it.
Right. The second quote is,
you're
I think
going to win this one.
No, it doesn't look
I think
yet.
I'm. Simon's only 1 point ahead.
Yes, I didn't even know I was ahead.
So, I think I'm a decent looking guy. Sometimes I can look great. Other times I look.
Beep.
Villain.
Awful.
Need to be more specific, Simon.
Bad.
No. It's worse than
beep.
That.
Ugly. Ugly.
You're both wrong.
Beep. Awful.
Dylan,
beep. Disgusting.
No, kind of.
Hideous.
Getting closer, Dylan. No.
The beep. Elephant man.
Grotesque.
No. It's more.
Appalling.
On the right track, you're both very close, but you're not going to get it. If I give you a kind of obscure clue, would
scary.
Be. Ooh, yes.
Beep. That, Frankenstein.
That is on the right track.
Yeah. Hideous. I've already said that.
Yeah.
Beep. Or, frightening.
Getting closer.
Beep. Horrific.
Creepy.
I'm going to give it to Simon's horrifying. The third quote is, when I was a kid, I was always mistaken for a...
Beep.
Girl. Dylan is the right answer. A girl. Okay.
Just because I had the same
affliction.
Yeah,
Dylan could relate.
Round four is distant relative, and we're going to be talking about the Hangover movies. So
anything else
I don't,
the
I haven't
movies.
Watched the Hangover movies, and so hopefully we'll all
That's
be able
lucky.
To get these questions... I've tried to make it so that
well,
we
I hope
can
you know
them.
The answer to them.
we're gonna find them together. The Hangover Part 2 set received a very unexpected visitor, an American president. Which one?
Beep.
Simon.
Who's still alive? Bill Clinton.
Is the right answer?
Yeah.
I
knew that for what it's worth.
How did you know that?
I just know that.
Was he just there?
No, I think he was in the film.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
He wasn't. He just made an appearance on the set.
He cameoed in the film.
No, he didn't.
He did. You haven't seen it.
the fact said that he didn't. That he just made an appearance on set.
All of your facts have been shaky on this round. I just want you to know that.
And that's the beauty of the quiz. Question two is, how did they show Ed Helms' character missing a tooth in the film? Dylan.
They actually pulled out a tooth of his.
I'm going to give it to you.
Thanks.
They didn't pull out a tooth.
Why'd you give it to
but
me?
But he is missing a tooth, a real tooth. It's not CG. He actually
That's
is missing a
the
tooth.
Exact
there.
Same answer.
Well,
as
no,
I
it's
gave.
Not. Because
no,
in the one,
not.
He might have been missing it. And so the rest of the movie actually gave him a tooth.
Mm. So I am going to give
twist.
You
twist.
Look, the point is the point.
Right. Ed Helms appears in what item of clothing in all three Hangover movies?
Beep.
Dylan.
A wife beater.
Is incorrect. Simon.
Beep a scarf?
No.
Beep.
Floral
Dylan?
T-shirt.
No.
Ooh, glasses.
No.
I mean, he does wear glasses,
pants. Does he have pants on?
What do you mean by that?
I mean he's wearing pants. Dungarees.
Ooh, no. Underpants.
Is the right answer.
Yes.
What? Well done. Underpants. Right. And the last question for the quiz is, the hangover most definitely glorifies drinking with your mates, but at what age did Bradley Cooper stop drinking and become teetotal?
Beep.
Simon. This closest answer wins.
He stopped drinking at the age of 24 and a half.
Okay. Right. I'm going to go with the age of 25.
And a half?
No.
Okay. Dylan is closer.
Yeah.
It was 29. And I can reveal that Simon wins the quiz with 7 points to 6.
Yay!
Can't believe it. I've been robbed. Oh, at least 8 of those questions I was robbed, though.
We can...
New format.
We'll let one of our listeners adjudicate, and if they feel that Dylan's been robbed...
No, it's fine. Simon was in Bangkok, I think. Oh, you guys didn't even go to Bangkok,
no.
Did you? Oh, sucks. I'm trying to justify your win here. With the Hangover 2, I think, is in Bangkok.
Maybe. I mean, I was there very briefly. That's maybe
That's what I was saying.
I was there as in I was at the airport.
Exactly what I was saying.
That could have been
at
when
one point they were at an airport.
Yeah, I imbued all the information about the Hangover then. Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks, man.
Good to be back. Good to win quizzes. Andrew, I'm not talking to you.
I've never had Dylan so bitter after a quiz. I'm sorry.
It's all lies.
Well, this has been good. It's been great fun. I've enjoyed every minute of it, especially winning the quiz.
Well done, Tom.
So
that must have felt nice.
Until next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.